it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys on this wonderful, wonderful Red Friday, getting you ready for week two between the Chiefs and the Philadelphia Eagles. I think Xavier Worthy is going to play. I just got a hunch. I don't think Andy puts him out there on Thursday and Friday without any intention in him playing. Now, I don't know what his role can be, but this just feels to me like a game time decision. We wake up on Sunday and we get those flurry of tweets from the NFL insiders that give you the update for your fantasy teams on who plays and doesn't play. The fact that he can already go back on the practice field, to me, really confirms what we heard Danan say earlier in the week when he talked about this being a pain management thing.
The only concern that I have for Xavier Worthy and that day-to-day injury is because he's not a bulky guy. He's not a big receiver. He's not Juju Smith-Schuster. He's not DeAndre Hopkins. He's not the bigger, even Rashee Rice. So you kind of wonder about the fragility of it, but the pain tolerance itself. I played with two subluxating shoulders, and for all the medical people out there that know that, if you remember, now I'm really dating myself, remember in Lethal Weapon with Mel Gibson,
when
his shoulder popped out, and he would hit it on the wall and pop it back in? That's because his shoulder was subluxating. That means it would pop in and out on a random. It doesn't matter if you hit somebody. It doesn't matter if you just made a quick movement. That's what can happen. I played with that. There were times where I had to labor to actually lift my right arm above my head while I was running a route, and to get a ball that was thrown over my head that I had to like scream to myself just to pull my arm up above my head.
How painful is that?
And it's painful, but it's manageable.
Okay.
And the game is, I mean, that's how it is. Obviously, you know, the game is about managing pain.
So that was Danny Hughes earlier this week talking about Xavier Worthy and that this injury is much more of a pain management thing. If the Chiefs have made the determination that he doesn't need surgery, and this is just how do you stabilize his shoulder? How comfortable does he feel? Does he feel comfortable enough to fall on it and get back up and do the things that he needs to do to play at a productive level? I think he's going to have some involvement in the game. Now, obviously, I could end up being wrong on this thing, and this was just he's going to practice this week. He'll practice next week. We'll see how things go. Nate's going to join us here coming up in the next 30 minutes, so we'll get his thoughts and his opinion on whether or not Xavier Worthy is going to play. But again, call it a hunch. I think that he goes out there on Sunday. Rob, where are you at on this? Do you think Xavier Worthy is going to be active and suit up against the Eagles?
So I think he is going to be active and suit up. I don't think that's the best decision. Like, I know we've been hyping this game up all week, and First Things First in town, and Fox Sports doing their pregame show from both the parking lot and at Power and Light, and they're 0-1, and the numbers for 0-2 are bad. I don't want to diminish the game, but it's still week two of the NFL season. I would not rush Xavier Worthy back. I would... Hey, he's practicing. Let's try to keep him up to speed. Let's let him have a week off. Let's get him back and implement in the offense against the Giants. And frankly, in 2 weeks when they play the Ravens, that to me is a much bigger AFC, more on the line game than the rematch against the Eagles this weekend. I understand all the reasons why you'd want him out there, but I think they are going to try to have him give it a go. I don't think that's the best plan. I would much rather ice him down 1 week and have him closer to 100% against the Ravens than push him against the Eagles, something bad could happen.
Yeah, I just don't know if you're going to be close to 100% with the kind of injury that he has. And that's why, to me, if they don't think that surgery is the option, and we think that he is going to play next Sunday as opposed to this one, your dislocated shoulder and the muscles and tendons around it ain't getting that much better in 5-6 days. And that's why I say it's just a pain management thing. Do you have the ability to stabilize this thing? And ultimately, when he gets hit on his shoulder and driven to the ground, are you going to be able to keep it where it is? Can he get back up and can he repeat the process? And if you feel comfortable enough in doing that and you trust your medical staff and your team, I don't know why you at least wouldn't give it a go. I do think he at least goes out there and works out on Sunday.
100% he warms up. 100%. That video is kind of like, I was thinking that it'll be 1:15. It'll be halftime of the noon game. And that video from a Harold Kuntz or a whoever is going to have him warming up and get Chiefs fans excited. It's worth noting the official injury report is out. He's listed as doubtful.
Which makes sense.
I think he'll warm up, and I think he's very game time decision-ish. If I was Andy Reid and I was in charge of the Chiefs, I would say, you are not playing today, but please warm up as if you are, and we'll have you back to full go for the Giants next week. But I do think you're right. I do think he is going to give it everything he's got to try to get out there, but I do not think he's going to end up playing.
A big thing for me in this matchup is, do the Chiefs have the ability to take away two of the Eagles' weapons? Like, if we are calling the Eagles' weapons in this matchup, Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith, in the Super Bowl, three of those four players scored a touchdown. If that's the case where you would say that your star players played well, I just don't think Kansas City has enough good players on their offense to be able to keep up with that. I kind of feel like we're at the point where you kind of got to factor in at least one tush push or one Saquon Barkley touchdown. They just run the football so effectively. It is at the center of everything that they do offensively. You kind of factor one of those things in. You got to figure out a way to slow down one of those other two pass catching options. Devontae Smith had a big catch down the middle of the field that kind of felt like it put the icing on the game. There were a couple of those moments in the Super Bowl, but that Devontae Smith touchdown was like, all right, this game is over. A.J. Brown a couple of times had a mismatch against Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie's just not a big enough guy to cover A.J. Brown. He's a big enough guy to cover a lot of people. A.J. is just, he's a different kind of receiver, and the Chiefs they just don't really have that kind of corner. If you're looking at what kind of game this needs to be, and we talked about, this needs to be a rock fight. This needs to be a fist fight in the middle of the street. This needs to be a game in which the Chiefs try to win 21-17. The Chiefs try to win this game 17-14. If this is a 31-24 kind of game, then in my opinion, Philadelphia won that game. I just think they are going to be able to outlast the Chiefs offensively. So this is something, if you're Spags, you did a great job with Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl. He was somebody that you were really worried about, and they put a lot of resources into slowing him down and stopping him, and they were successful. Well, you got to stop the big plays downfield to Devontae Smith. You can't have a penalty on third down that gives them an automatic first down because you were trying to stop A.J. Brown. You got to be able to take away two of these four options in order to make this game a lower scoring game than I think Philadelphia wants it to be.
Here's my concern, and it's something we've been talking about all week. You're more concerned about the offense. I'm more concerned about the defense. I look at last week's game between the Eagles and the Cowboys, and I know the Eagles did not look like the most impressive team in the NFL, but they won on Thursday night at home against a competent Cowboys team. A Cowboys team is probably a little bit similar to the Chargers team the Chiefs faced in week one. Man, they got one star performance from their big dogs. Jalen Hurts was great against the Cowboys. He had 60 rushing yards and two touchdowns. He had another 150 in the air, 19 of 23. Jalen Hurts was a star on Thursday night. Saquon was fine. Like, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't star. A.J. Brown could have not played. He might have been reading his book because he didn't exist in that game. And Devontae Smith was also MIA with exactly three catches for 16 yards. And they beat the Cowboys. Now, the Chiefs are better than the Cowboys, but you talk about, hey, if you got to slow down the stars for the Chiefs to have a chance to win. I'm guessing if we listened to R.J. Choppy and all those guys down in Dallas a week ago, hey, what's the game plan to stop the Eagles? They're probably saying we can't let their stars be stars. And outside of Jalen Hurts, their stars were not stars in week one, and the Eagles still won. So I worry that this defense, even if things go well and they take a star away, do the Eagles have too much star power where another guy gets going and it becomes a problem for this Chiefs defense?
Yeah, but I would think if you're the Chiefs, I think you would absolutely take this. Like, if you were telling me that exactly what the Cowboys did. Now, Jalen Hurts played well. Like, I know the numbers don't look gaudy. He was 19 of 23, and almost every time they needed a play, Jalen Hurts made it last Thursday. He played really well. But, I mean, Saquon Barkley had 18 carries for 60 yards. Devontae Smith had 3 catches for 16 yards. A.J. Brown had 1 catch for 8 yards. If that's the kind of offensive production that we're talking about on the road against Kansas City, I think they win. Now, I think what is very, very important in this is the Cowboys ran the football successfully. Javonte Williams had 54 yards rushing. Miles Sanders had 53 yards rushing. They had 22 carries for 119 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns against the Eagles. They also got a big game from CeeDee Lamb, at least from a numbers perspective. We know about in the fourth quarter, CeeDee Lamb had those couple of drops. You're probably going to need to run the football successfully. And if you look back to last season, you probably need the Eagles to make a mistake, and you need to capitalize on their mistake. Think about the 2 losses that Philadelphia had. It was a drop by Saquon Barkley late in the game against the Falcons, and they also had that drop in the middle of the field from Devontae Smith against the Commanders last year. Those are the only teams to beat the Eagles last year. Now, I don't think their roster is as strong, especially on the defensive side, as it was last year, but we're talking about the best team in the National Football League. They're going to need to make some mistakes here or there, and you're going to have to capitalize on those mistakes to beat a team that I just think has a little bit more firepower than you have. We got Nate Taylor coming up in about 20 minutes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I already know what Rob is going to say to this stat. Causation versus correlation. I know Rob well. At some point, I think I know Rob better than he knows himself. I got this idea from reading the text line. Someone texted in and said, Carrington, the Chiefs aren't going to run the ball. Andy doesn't learn. Maybe I have become the Andy Reid defender in this. I think Andy Reid is one of the 5 greatest coaches in the history of the National Football League. I think he understands the importance of running the football. I really do. I think he understands. I know you guys have your questions, your doubts. I don't about this. I looked this up because I was curious. Did you know that in Isaiah Pacheco's career, when he gets at least 10 carries, the Chiefs are 21-4 in those games? 21-4. The games in which Isaiah Pacheco plays and gets fewer than 10 carries, they are 8-6. Now, you usually run the ball when you are ahead. You are trying to run out the clock, etc. I do think that this stat just kind of goes to show you, man, when they try to run the football, when they're successful at running the football, when their offense is balanced, the Chiefs are really, really difficult to beat. When their offense is not balanced, and to me, it's Pat go be great ball, that's kind of when you can get the Chiefs. That's what we've seen their offense in the last 2 Chiefs games that we watched. They didn't try to run the ball against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and that's just a defense. If you're going to tell me it's a passing down every single time, you're also playing from a deficit, and it's just go get after the quarterback, that was one of the best defensive lines in the league at being able to do that. Against the Chargers, have your questions about the Chargers. We're talking about a well-coached team that has a Hall of Fame-esque coach, whether it's NFL, college, one of the best coaches that we've seen, and a team that won double-digit games. If you're just not going to try, and it's a massive advantage for the defense. So, Rob, I'll give you a chance to respond to this because I know you're going to argue causation versus correlation, but that's the stat. In the games in which they have given Isaiah Pacheco 10 carries, just 10, The Chiefs are 21-4 in his career. When it is fewer than 10 carries, the Chiefs are 8-6. He has to be in the center of whatever game plan they are doing. They don't have enough other viable options in their offense to think that you can go win this game without having Isaiah Pacheco. He doesn't need to have a career day. Can you get him 16 carries for 81 yards? That's not a day that anybody's going to ride home about, but if they could have that kind of game that keeps the pressure off Pat, keeps the defense honest, that means you're running the ball, you're extending drives, you're turning second and five in the first downs, that means a lot within the flow of a game. They have to run the ball against the Eagles.
So, first off, don't be stealing my arguments before I make them. That makes this less fun for me. That steals a lot of the joy out of what I'm about to say when you say it before me. Because it's 100% correlation and not causation. The Chiefs are not 21-4 because, man, they really rode Isaiah Pacheco to those wins. That is a sentence we have never, ever said. We haven't talked about them using the running back as a key to victory since Jamaal Charles left town. Like, that's just not a thing in the modern NFL. So it is 100% correlation, not causation. But your larger point, I do think is accurate.
But I'm sorry, though. I'm sorry to cut you off, though. Like, but this to me, though, is like, it's not. Like, it is a thing in the modern NFL. Name a team that you think is good in the National Football League, and I guarantee you they can run the football successfully. Every single team that you think can win the Super Bowl, you think the Packers can? They got Josh Jacobs. He scored a running touchdown in 11 games. You think the Lions can win it? They spent the first round pick on a running back and have two of the best running backs in the league. You think the Baltimore can win it? Do you think the Buffalo can win it? Every single team that people think is good and can win the Super Bowl can run the football. Now, it's varying degrees of how good they are at running the ball, but there's not a single team that you think has a legitimate chance in which their running back is not a factor into anything they do offensively. There's not a one.
So we agree there. The Chiefs need to have the running back be a factor. I would say if you ask me, like, oh, the good teams all have good running backs. Well, I would tell you that, yes, all the good teams have good running backs, but they're not winning because of their running backs. I would tell you they're winning for other things, and it's exactly correlation, not causation. They are icing games down with their running backs. But your 10,000-foot viewpoint, I actually agree with, despite my running back hate. The Chiefs can't be a zero at running the ball. I might hate running back. I might think that it's a little bit of an overvalued position. I might think all those things we've talked about. But you can't be 2011 Texas Tech. You just can't. You need to be a nice 60-40 split pass to run. And right now the Chiefs are like a 90-10. And a 90-10 split is not winning games. So, although I disagree with your stat being why the Chiefs are winning, we agree on the larger point. Patrick Mahomes playing Texas Tech ball, like it's that Oklahoma game that everyone points to in college, is a losing formula in the league. He's great, and he's the best player on the planet, and because of that, he can keep games close like we saw on Friday, but you can't be 45 passes and 7 runs. It is not a sustainable model. I don't think you have to rush for 100 yards. I don't think you have to establish the run or ground and pound, but I also don't think you can be, you know, high-flying offense and look like Hawaii with Timmy Chang. You just can't do it in the NFL.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, the Chiefs have been the best team in the league for the last 5 years, and they haven't been able to run the ball. Who cares about other teams? That's just not true. The Chiefs have absolutely been able to run the football when they won Super Bowls. Isaiah Pacheco, when they won the Super Bowl, he had the 18th most rushing yards in the league. Again, I'm not saying you need to be dominant running the football. You don't need to be that. But the Chiefs absolutely, in the last time they won the Super Bowl, Isaiah Pacheco's 935 yards rushing, averaging 4.6 yards per carry and 7 touchdowns, is a reason on why the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Because if you remember, if we can go all the way back in time when they didn't have a whole lot else at wide receiver, they had 3 offensive players they could count on. They had Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, and Isaiah Pacheco, and they ran the football successfully and they could move the chains. I'm not saying you need Derrick Henry to win the Super Bowl. You don't need Christian McCaffrey. You can't run the ball 5 times against playoff teams the way that they did on Friday and think that you are beating the Philadelphia Eagles. You cannot run the ball 3 times with Isaiah Pacheco in the Super Bowl and think that you were going to beat top-ranked defenses. That's just not the way the football works. Other things break down when that's the case. I will continue to bang this drum. You guys tell me every time how important it is to protect the franchise, and you got to keep Pat upright. Well, having him throw 42 times to Jason Brownlee, Juju Smith-Schuster, and bringing back Mecole Hardman is not the best way to do that. Running the ball 14 times with Isaiah Pacheco is one of the better offensive plans that they can have. If you don't think Xavier Worthy is going to play, in my opinion, the best offensive player they have on the field is Isaiah Pacheco. Give him the ball.
See, now we're going to venture into a different conversation here because I don't believe Isaiah Pacheco is their best offensive player on Sunday.
I think he is right now.
I'm just going to continue to bang this drum. I know
you and I are both banging a lot of drums.
We're basically the start of First Things First. We got the drum line coming
for
in.
For sure.
I know this show has been deemed the Travis Kelce hater. Travis Kelce is the best player on the Chiefs offense. He might not be in week 9. He might not be in week 18. He's 35 years old. I believe he's going to be 36 soon. Like, time is undefeated. I get that. But it's week 2. He should be in the best shape of his life. He hasn't taken that many hits on his body. Why did he, the best player on the team, get 4 targets in Brazil? 4! I think Travis Kelce is the best player on this offense. Everything I heard from the national pundits all offseason was, hey, Travis Kelce's back. Well, 4 targets and 2 catches ain't back, but I think he's the best player on the offense, and I am begging them. The way you're begging them to give the ball to Isaiah Pacheco, I am begging them. Give it to the Hall of Famer. Give it to the guy who's going to wear a gold jacket one day. No offense to Isaiah Pacheco. Maybe he is better today. Maybe it's 6-1 and a half dozen the other. But you know who I'd rather have the ball with? The best tight end in the history of the NFL and not the 17th best running back.
Maybe just me and the text line, we just reached that impasse and we just won't be able to move forward. See, Ad, it is true. The Chiefs have never been able to run the ball. They don't commit to it, but it's true. They've won 3 Super Bowls and they've never been a running team. I feel like I want to pull my hair out. I don't think the Chiefs need to be a ground and pound. They're not San Francisco. They're not Philadelphia. I don't know how you guys can watch their offense and think that the plan for them to win this game is Isaiah Pacheco runs for 21 yards and Patrick Mahomes throws it 41 times. I don't know how we're watching the same offense for the last 17 weeks and think that's the best win against good teams. I'm confused that you guys feel this way. I'm genuinely confused at how this has happened when it comes to it. I'm confused that a franchise that loves Jamal Charles, loves Priest Holmes, knows the importance of running the ball. Now it's like, you don't got to. Okay, all right, I got it. Hey, it makes sense to me. It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to me. We got Nate Taylor coming on the show here in just a bit. He is going to join us in about 90 seconds, actually. Rob went downstairs to go get him, so we will have Nate Taylor join us in just a little bit. I want to play this for you. This is going to be maybe the quickest cut that we have ever played in Drive history. Andy Reid was asked about Xavier Worthy's chances to play. This is the whole thing. This has not been abbreviated. This has not been cut in half. There's not been any of those things. Listen to this.
I'd probably tell you it's slim, but there's still a chance, yeah.
Slim, but still a chance. Oh, I'm with you. Slim, but still a chance. I am very interested to get Nate Taylor's opinion on this coming up in just a bit on what he thinks about Xavier Worthy's ability to play on Sunday and if he thinks that he is going to be able to give it a go. While we wait for Nate to come onto the show, I want to play this again for you guys. Elias Shore Parks was on the show yesterday, and he mentioned the great players that the Chiefs have on the roster. The point that I made to open up the show today is superheroes need help. Batman is a part of the Justice League. There is a Fantastic Four. There is the X-Men. Like, superheroes usually work in teams. If the Chiefs are going to win this game, it can't be Pat by himself. They need their great players to be great.
The Chiefs have, in my opinion, 5 great players. They have Trent McDuffie, Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Patrick Mahomes, and I think Travis Kelce Silver. Oh, Creed Humphrey's the 5th. Creed Humphrey, I would say, is the 5th great player on the roster. And that can be enough to keep them competitive. But if you look at the 2 teams, the Eagles have far and away the best roster. Like, they have so much more talent than the Chiefs do. I mean, Mahomes would probably kill to play for the Eagles as opposed to dealing with the players he has on the Kansas City roster. So I think there's still a big gap in terms of talent. Now, are there areas where the Chiefs could take advantage of the Eagles? I think the Eagles' interior offensive line right now, because they're dealing with an injury to Landon Dickerson, could be somewhat susceptible. I think Chris Jones, as you well know, is very capable of taking over a game. George Karloftis, also obviously a great player. And I think both of them on the line combined could give the Eagles some problems. But outside of that, no, I mean, the Chiefs receivers aren't that great. Their secondary is not that great. The Eagles have outstanding skill players. So I think the Chiefs really just have to hope that Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid have an outstanding game plan and that Patrick Mahomes can be Patrick Mahomes.
That was Elliott Shore Parks joining us on the show earlier in the week, and he said that he believes that the Chiefs have five great players on their team. Whatever you think the number possibly is, I know they're great at quarterback. They need their other great players to play well in this game if they want to pull off the upset, and I use upset in air quotes. You can't let Chris Jones... You can't let Chris Jones on a 3rd and 14 lose containment and Justin Herbert run for 17 yards and convert a first down. Like, not from a guy that we think is going to Canton, not from a guy who was one of the great defensive players of his era. If Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith and Jawan Taylor, and these are guys that you have invested significant amount of money into, your offensive line just needs to play well in this game. Philadelphia controlled the offensive line. They controlled the defensive line in the Super Bowl. They controlled the game in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are going to need to combat that in this matchup. We welcome Nate Taylor into the show. Nate, happy to have you on the show. Let's start with this. I think Xavier Worthy is going to play, and this is why.
Whoa!
I think he's going to play.
What?
I don't think Andy has him go out there and practice on Thursday. He's missed one practice right in the middle of this.
It's wild.
It's not like he just randomly showed on Friday and just did a little bit of work. He practiced right on Thursday and Friday. And if you were telling me that he doesn't need surgery,
right,
his shoulder is not getting better next week against the Giants. Like, it's also still going to be dealing with this and healing, and they're going to have to deal with this all season. I think it's a pain management thing. I think it's a how do you stabilize this? How can you ensure that when he goes to the ground that you're not going to cause further damage and he can get back up? We've seen plenty of players that can play with a dislocated shoulder. I think he's a game time decision, and we get the tweet from Schefter, Rappaport. Mm-hmm. I think we get the tweet that Xavier Worthy is going to play.
I do get the impression he's going to be out there, you know, 2.5 hours before kick. Now, just for everybody to understand, like, the inactives come out 90 minutes before kickoff. So what is it? It's a 3:25 game. Mm-hmm. So again, Xavier Worthy could be on the field testing. Now, it's not a lower body injury, which is good, of course, but we usually see guys like testing ankles, hips, knees, whatever, you know, what's going on with my foot. We see those guys tested out.
How do you test your shoulder?
I was about to say, I was like, it's a little different than like, hey, I need to see you like run and cut and make sure that you can like, you know, stabilize, protect yourself, do all those things. So I would be surprised. It's amazing that they said, you know, that Andy told us today, hey, it's slim, guys. But to your point, he did more today than he did yesterday. And he was in the locker room today. Like, after practice.
They usually just don't do this for a guy, right, and then not play him.
I know. I'm kind of torn, ladies and gentlemen, because you make a lot of good points, Carrington. He was in the locker room with the rest of the guys just chatting it up, having fun, being boys. Like, no harness, no strapping, whatever he had on at today's practice was less than what he had on Thursday at practice. So there'll be some level of like padding or just extra protection if he is to play on Sunday. Could you be a decoy? I mean, you know, there were some conversations about, hey, if that guy's running a 9 route, are you comfortable with him running a 9 route to open up somebody else underneath? And are you comfortable telling Patrick, he might have two steps on whoever the DB is. I don't know if you want to throw it to him, but I saw him catch passes. Like, he can catch the football. He can hold the football. He can, you know, obviously change directions. It's not anything lower body. So he is one incredibly tough, incredibly impressive athlete. I think most people with a health and medical background would tell you, hey, an extra 8 days would be great before you play the New York Giants on turf. Now, that's a little bit different. I have thought about that, like going to the Meadowlands and playing on turf versus, you know, your own home field with grass. You know, what you don't want to do is just get tackled and land on your shoulder, because obviously we saw that happen with Hollywood Brown last year, and he didn't have an issue before that.
I actually think the Chiefs are pretty fortunate, like all things considered. I
mean, they're thrilled.
I mean, we just saw on Thursday Night Football, I mean, a very innocent play for Jaden Reed. He breaks his collarbone, and now he's out until mid-November. Like,
right.
This thing, obviously, you don't want to lose Xavier Worthy, and if he misses one game, especially this game, going up against the team you're going up against, not ideal. Yeah. But, I mean, for a 5'11 guy to run square into a 6'4, 225 guy, I mean, this thing could have been, he could have been out for the rest of the season. Right. Like, that is a very realistic possibility of what could have happened for Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, because it was, he never, you know, I don't know how much they showed on YouTube, I'm trying to remember, from Friday, but, you know, when we watched him from the stadium or inside the stadium, there was no like, oh, no, let me, no. Talk to the trainers, get your stuff, go to the locker room. There was no chance of him returning. And so at the time you're thinking, okay, is it similar to what Hollywood and Tyreek Hill had? Is it something where like he's going to go on IR? Obviously, we all know Rashee Rice is suspended for the first 6 weeks. So I was sitting there in the second quarter being like, wow, they are really back to all of last year again, where it's like, yep, gotta have long sustaining drives where you can't make a mistake and your margin for error gets really small. And Juwan Taylor, you know, false started. Well, is that the drive or is Patrick gonna have to do something insane? They gotta be thrilled with the fact that it's pretty much, again, unless something changes, Carrington, we're gonna see him on September 28th against the Baltimore Ravens. That game legitimately matters more than these upcoming to, because that's an AFC opponent that could be the determination of a tiebreaker. Obviously, we know Baltimore's 0-1.
I think it's almost a guarantee that he plays next week. I just don't see a scenario in which they have him practicing with the team for 2 weeks and then he doesn't play in back-to-back games. Maybe he doesn't play in this one. They don't feel comfortable enough.
Correct.
The fact that he's only missed one practice, so you would assume he's going to practice next week too and be a full participant for all of the days that they have, he will at minimum play next week against the Giants.
So if you were to say, hey, Nate, why is he not going to play on Sunday against the Eagles? Well, Andy Reid, as I've said before, is a very traditional, old-school coach. So if we knew you did more Friday than you did Thursday, that's great. But how much are you actually a part of the game plan? How many, like, first-team reps did you do? You know, you could do individual period. You could do stuff off to the side. But, like, I kind of need to see you with the 10 other guys in the unit so that I feel comfortable playing you in Sunday's game. That may be one of the reasons why Andy Reid says, hey, you made great progress. I appreciate you being kind of a morale boost for guys. Cause I think, I mean, for Travis Kelce, you gotta be thrilled, man. I saw Travis in the locker room. He was very happy today. Mostly because, hey, that guy is not gonna be, he's not done for the season. He's not cooked. So I think that might be the deciding factor is, hey, coach, he actually could go. Let's give him like a 20-snap count for Sunday against the Eagles. It's your call. He might say, I don't know. You know, the game plan really doesn't include him the way it did against the Chargers. So am I putting him at risk because he hasn't practiced as much as everybody else in the huddle? That may be one of the reasons why they say it's gone great so far in terms of the rehab and the recovery. They don't think that, hey, if you get tackled again, it's immediately going to pop out again. So, hey, let's give you a full week facing the Giants, and then we'll, you know, get you back into the fold.
I want you to think about this question during the break, and we'll talk about it coming up in a bit. Let's say Juwan Taylor gets two penalties in the first quarter.
Oh, shoot.
What happens? Like, he gets two penalties in the first quarter. That is not an unrealistic scenario.
In the first quarter?
He gets two penalties in the first quarter. What do you think happens? We'll get your answer for this next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
4 o'clock on Friday can only mean one thing.
Oh.
From St. Joe to Sao Paulo to Santa Clara, he's there every step of the way, and nobody knows the Chiefs like Nate, Nate Taylor.
They will move Joe Tooney to left tackle.
Now of ESPN, join CDOT on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Nate is going to be with us from now until the end of the show. We are off at 4:30 today because of the Kansas City Royals. We actually only have one more week of which the Royals are going to preempt the show. So we are almost through with the baseball season. The Royals are 5 games out of the wild card with 15 to go. We have determined that baseball season is over in Kansas City. They have successfully done what they are supposed to do. They got
that
us the football
true.
Season.
That is true.
We got one more Buck night at the K. We got one more Kiss Cam at the K. That's it. It's over.
That's it.
It's done.
Man.
Nate Taylor, let me ask you this question. Let's say that Juwan Taylor gets 2 penalties in the first quarter of the game.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens? How do the Chiefs respond to that?
If you're Juwan Taylor, you're hoping that Patrick continues right where he left off in Sao Paulo, and you still score a touchdown. So maybe you still have the lead 14-10, 10-3, whatever.
Another player yelled at him and headbutted him in the middle of the game.
Who also made a catastrophic mistake. I know we get a little too overzealous. I don't want to be like prisoner of the moment. But I believe Matt Nagy, who yesterday, and I'm sure you guys played the audio, when he said, like, it's got to stop. So if you say it's got to stop, and then immediately the next quarter of professional football, you have 2 penalties that push the offense back, I have to assume that he will. And again, I don't want to be a prisoner moment, but I have to believe Matt Nagy. Because I think Matt Nagy was specifically put out there yesterday to say those words so that Andy Reid doesn't have to. I don't love the scenario, but I think they would pull him.
I mean, I think more so than anything, they've had to kind of tolerate the penalties because they didn't really have a viable option.
Correct.
We believe that the 2026 right tackle is on the roster. That's what we believe.
Yes.
Next year, Simmons is at left, Jalen Moore is at right tackle, and you are going to move forward.
Right.
And if you're already going to have a really expensive backup like you have right now, like there's no avoiding that unless you're talking about sitting down Kingsley Suamataia, which that's not the conversation we're having this week.
No.
Somebody who makes a lot of money is not going to be playing. It has to be the player who by far and away has the most penalties in the National Football League for the last couple of years.
Yes.
He is at 41. There's not another player in the league that's in the 30s. Like,
that's
it's not
crazy.
A small amount of penalties more than the opposition.
Right.
It is a significant amount. He has almost resulted in minus 300 yards from scrimmage.
And like, you don't touch the ball.
And you can't have, like, with the offense the way that it is right now, with the lack of weapons that they have, you can't have your offensive lineman taking first downs off the board, taking 20, 25 yards,
right,
or a deep play down the field that you do get. Now it comes back because of a holding call. You cannot live with that.
No, you can't. And he is a really good pass blocker, guys. And that's what's so – that's got to be the thing that, like, kind of drives you crazy if you are a coach, if you are a teammate. If you're Patrick Mahomes, is like he's an above average pass blocker. Still, guys, when he's on time and technically sound and understands what the play is and what his responsibilities are, he can still play at a high level. I always like to remind people of like what has happened before what might come next. They won the Super Bowl with him, and he played excellent in the second half of the 2023 season. And ever since then, it's been a roller coaster. I don't think he was an issue in the postseason last year. Everybody got worked against the Eagles, so, you know, it is what it is. It's untenable. Because they have Jalen Moore, and because you know this, Carrington, I think the first half of training camp, so before you get to, like, the first preseason game, before they played the Cardinals, he and Juwan Taylor and Jalen Moore were splitting reps at right tackle. This has been percolating since the team got to St. Joseph, because once they realized that Josh Simmons was not only cleared to be a full participant for training camp, but that he was going to exceed expectations early on, okay, we obviously want to put a lot of development and a lot of resources to Josh Simmons at left tackle, and the only way he's going to get better and be a potential Pro Bowl, All-Pro player, if he stays healthy, is by giving him as many reps as possible for Sao Paulo. And an argument can be made that Josh Simmons was actually the player getting better throughout the course of the game, not Juwan Taylor. You're a veteran guy who is supposed to be one of your anchors of the offensive line. So this has been in the case. The calculation you have to make is, okay, what helps us win today? So if it's two penalties in the first quarter, get him out. Jalen Moore's in. Now what do we do? Hopefully you say, well, Jalen Moore plays well, doesn't get penalized. Chiefs win the game. Now we're asking Juwan Taylor to be a professional and understand what it's like to be benched for the first time in his career in the event that, like, there is an injury, in an event that there is, like, something that goes on with Josh Simmons or Kingsley Suamataia. That's why Jalen Moore is really overqualified for his job as the technical sixth offensive lineman. But I got a sense that the Chiefs have been understanding that this is a contract year for Juwan Taylor, and if the performance didn't improve, which through five quarters in this scenario it would not, then I don't know why you would necessarily waste more time, especially when you're 0-1, and we didn't necessarily predict that going into the game in Sao Paulo.
Do you think the officials unfairly pick on him?
Yes. And, you know, I think it's a personality thing too. Juwan Taylor cares immensely about his performance, cares immensely about protecting Mahomes. Again, very good player, always been a starter in the league. But he is someone who doesn't necessarily like – he just takes the penalty, takes the punishment, and moves on. And that is by nature like a very offensive lineman thing to do. Like, don't make it about me. All right, got to figure it out. Okay, my bad. It's on me. Move to the next play. I got it. But did you see him push back when Travis Kelce got on him? YouTube didn't show that. He's never, like, I think there's one time I've seen Juwan Taylor get upset, and that was because they were going to split reps with Jalen Moore. That was the one time I actually saw him get upset with Andy Heck, who Andy Heck on the first day of training camp told him, hey, you're coming off. Hey, you had a procedure in the offseason. He's the new guy. Let him get some reps with the ones. And Juwan's like, I'm the starting right tackle, which is true. Starting right tackle gets all the reps with the ones, which is true. But, you know, but on the field, he doesn't get in, like, a ref's face. He doesn't really argue. He doesn't really, like, he's not a combative person. He's very skilled, very technically sound when he's on time, he's not making mistakes. But I do think he gets picked on because refs just know, if I see anything, given his reputation that has now been put out there, you know, no one's going to be, like, questioning me as the line judge, as the back judge, as the referee. So I think it's a trickle down effect.
Right now we're joined in studio by Nate Taylor of ESPN. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll reset things and we'll get back to Chiefs and Eagles. I want to ask you this question. This is one of the very few games that you have been at in which you could say the other team is better than them. How do you think the Chiefs win this game? I'll tell you how I think they win it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.